here we are to talk about creativity and part of Brainstorm and how we individually and collectively are creative. I'm Mariette DiCristina, and I'm going to introduce to you a panel of people who are going to speak about this topic of creativity and how all of us can boost our creativity, both individually and collectively. I'll start off by giving quick bios of people who are here in the room with me. So let me start with me, Mariette DiCristina. I have been the editor of Scientific American Mind since its inception in the fall of 2004. As a journalist for more than 20 years, I employ creativity myself in finding ways to make complex science topics clear for our readers. And when I'm working on an article, my least favorite part of the job is the first phone call to the first scientist when I feel like I don't know anything to start off my creative process. And my favorite part is when I sit down in front of a blank screen, notes in hand, ready to write, and I feel energized by the opportunities in front of me. And we're going to speak here today with three people who have done amazing work in creativity. I'll start with Robert Epstein, who is a psychologist, researcher, writer, and media professional who is an expert on the study of creativity in individuals. Dr. Epstein is a contributing editor for Scientific American Mind magazine and the former editor-in-chief of Psychology Today. He's also a visiting scholar at the University of California, San Diego, and host of Psyched on Sirius Satellite Radio. A longtime professor and researcher, he is the founder and director emeritus of the Cambridge Center for Behavioral Studies in Massachusetts. While working on his PhD at Harvard University, Dr. Epstein worked very closely with the famous psychologist B.F. Skinner. In the research, pigeons that got various kinds of training demonstrated very human-like behaviors that resembled quote-unquote, self-awareness and insight. In the early 1980s, Dr. Epstein developed a formal predictive theory of creative behavior in individuals called generativity theory. It suggests that novel behavior is both orderly and predictable. He also developed a competency test that measures a person's ability to express creativity and a related test that measures the ability of a manager or teacher to elicit creativity in other people. Several of Dr. Epstein's more than a dozen books include games and exercises that build such competencies. Two collections are The Big Book of Creativity Games and Creativity Games for Trainers, and you can learn more about his work at drepstein.com. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you so much, Mariette.
I'm so glad to have you here. Now I'd like to introduce John Houts, who is a psychologist and professor at Fordham University, where he's focused for the past several years on people's creative and problem-solving styles, whether they're working individually or in a group. Dr. Houts has edited or authored four books, most recently, The Educational Psychology of Creativity, and more than 100 articles and presentations in journals and at professional conferences. His PhD in educational psychology and research is from Purdue University. Dr. Houts conducts research with students and colleagues at Fordham and with the Center for Creative Learning and the Creative Problem Solving Group. The two creativity centers try to shift attention from figuring out how much creativity an individual or group demonstrates to how or in what ways do individuals or groups create. Research shows that different people have preferences for approaching problems and processing information that are relatively stable. These preferences can easily affect the creative problem-solving process. If you can understand these preferences and their role, you can better deal with problems that are open-ended, ambiguous, and important. You can learn more about the Center for Creative Learning at www.creativelearning.com, and you can find the Creative Problem Solving Group at www.cpsb.com, or Google either one. Welcome, John. I'm so glad to have you.
Thank you, Mariette. It's a pleasure to be here.
And now I would love to talk to you about Julia Cameron. Julia Cameron's work embodies the creative life. She is an award-winning poet, playwright, and filmmaker who has written 24 books, ranging from her widely praised crime novel, The Dark Room, to her volumes of children's poems and prayers. Her extensive film and theater credits include such diverse work as Miami Vice and the prize-winning romantic comedy God's Will, which she both wrote and directed. But Ms. Cameron is best known for her hugely successful works on creativity. Her book, The Artist's Way, has sold more than 3 million copies worldwide, and her follow-up books are also bestsellers, The Vein of Gold, Walking in This World, and The Right to Write. A writer since the age of 18, Ms. Cameron has published highly praised short stories, award-winning essays, and hard-hitting political journalism. Her credits range from Rolling Stone to the New York Times. As a teacher, she has taught everywhere from the Smithsonian to Esalen, the New York Times, Northwestern University, where she served as a writer-in-residence in film. Ms. Cameron is delighted to be publishing a new romantic comedy novel called Mozart's Ghost and a production of her musical, The Medium at Large. You can learn more about Ms. Cameron's work at www.theartistsway.com. Welcome, Julia.
It's good to be here.
I'm so glad to have you all. I thought that a good way to start our discussion on creativity would be to talk a little bit about what has drawn each of you in the room to the study of creativity. What is it that's so fascinating about it? John, maybe you might like to start out.
I think what fascinates us most about creativity is that we don't know much about it. There is so much power in a new idea taking shape and changing the way that people live and act. We are amazed when something new and different takes shape. Oftentimes, the rest of us are in awe or we are afraid of a new idea. And sometimes our fears spur us to learning more about it. It's an unknown quantity. What I've just said, most people might relate to in terms of genius, what we call genius creativity, the major things in almost any discipline, from art and music to the sciences to any field of endeavor. But then there is what academics and others might call the little c, the everyday problem solving that we all do. And I think the folks that you have here today can offer a few insights and ideas for the average person. And I realize by saying the word average, that's not a really great thing to say. We're all average or we're all unique. The bottom line is we'd all like to be more creative. We'd all like to be able to solve our problems in a better way. We don't like being frustrated. We don't like having obstacles in our path. So perhaps what we could talk about, at least in the beginning of the discussion, are the things that we think we have learned from our own work that could be useful for others who would like to do things better, to be a better thinker and problem solver.
Julia, one thing that's amazing about your work, I think, is that those ideas for thinking to be a better problem solver every day. Would you like to talk a little bit about what drew you to that?
Well, I think what drew me to working on my creativity was running into a couple of bumps. I had had a blessed decade in my 20s, and then when I got to my 30s, I felt thwarted. I was writing movies, selling them to studios, but they weren't getting made. I was frustrated. I was writing novels. They weren't getting published. And I needed to find a way to maintain equilibrium and optimism in the face of creative despair. So I began with morning pages, the 3 pages of daily morning writing. And I found that as I did that, it's just sort of like taking a whisk broom to your consciousness. As I did those pages, new ideas began to walk in. And I come from a big family where if you learned how to tie your shoes, you taught your little sister Libby how to tie her shoes. And that's really how my creativity teaching also began. It was just the impulse to share 3 pages work, tell someone else, let them try it. And it sort of snowballed out of a sense of sibling sharing.
Could you just tell the people who are listening, before we get over to Robert, 1 minute about what morning pages are?
Morning pages are the greased slide to more creativity. They are 3 pages of longhand morning writing about anything. I don't like the way Fred talked to me at the office. I need to get the car checked. I forgot to buy kitty litter. I have to call my sister back. They don't look like they have anything to do with creativity. But in fact, as we put these worries, which are sort of a daily soundtrack for most of us, down on the page, we are suddenly much more alert, aware, focused, and available to the moment, and we begin to see that we have many more creative choices during any given day than we had previously considered.